First, though, as we've been discussing this morning, the federal government looks set to abandon its policy of offshore processing for asylum seekers, not by choice, but because of the political stalemate over changes to migration laws. The deadlock will continue tomorrow when the legislation amending the Migration Act is introduced to the Parliament. Immigration Minister Chris Bowen hasn't conceded defeat yet. Here he is speaking to us on Breakfast before the news.
We'll need to see how this goes through the Parliament. Mr Abbott has said he will move amendments. We don't know how those amendments will go. I'm not going
Well,
to
they will
that.
Not support your Malaysia solution. That's what well, they told us today.
Well, they have said that they would move amendments to our legislation. Now, we'll see whether those amendments pass either House. They may not. It's very hard to predict. If those amendments do not pass, then it's up to the Liberal Party whether they vote for the entire legislation or not. And I'm not aware that they've indicated that position. If the legislation does fail, then that would mean that any offshore processing would, in our view, not be legally sound and we would not be able to proceed with it.
Which leads us back to where we are with onshore processing. That was Immigration Minister Chris Bowen speaking to us here on Breakfast earlier. Well, Professor James Hathaway is a leading authority on international refugee law. He's a fellow at the University of Melbourne and director of the University of Michigan's program in refugee and asylum law. He joins you from Melbourne this morning. James Hathaway, welcome back to Breakfast.
Good morning, Frank. Great to be back.
As we've been discussing here this morning, the government has revised its proposed changes to the Migration Act. The minister must now have some regard as to whether asylum seekers removed to a third country would not then be returned to their country of origin, where they could face persecution. Also, a receiving country must agree to assess people's asylum claims. Does this mean that Australia, under those terms, would be living up to our human rights obligations?
No, it doesn't. I mean, I think when you look at the government's proposal, clearly the clause says, and the words are important, the only condition is that the minister thinks that the designation is in the national interest. And then it goes on to say he should think about a variety of things like assurances, but the assurances don't have to be binding, and rules of natural justice don't apply. So the bottom line is the minister gets to call Trump. There's no provision in here limiting his discretion based on legal assurances, which is precisely what the High Court said recently was required.
So just reading from the amendment from the government, it says, in considering the national interest, the minister must have regard to whether or not the country has given Australia any assurances to the effect the country would not expel or return a person taken to the country where his life may be threatened. Isn't that the core obligation embedded in the UN Refugee Convention, what's called the policy of non-refoulement?
Well, two things. One is, look at the language, have regard. I mean, he has to look at it. He has to think about it. He has to turn his mind to it. Mm. It's not a condition. If they meant that it was a condition, they would have said, one may do this with a country that meets criteria X, Y, and Z. They've explicitly not said that. Secondly, there aren't core and peripheral obligations in the Refugee Convention, and this is what the High Court said in its recent judgment. There's a definition of a refugee in Article 1, non-refoulement, the duty not to send you back to the place of persecution, is Article 33. You do the math. There's 31 articles in between, and that's the definition of protection that the High Court said we had to look at in order to be able to send people away who otherwise would be under Australian jurisdiction.
So given these amendments, are you saying the Prime Minister cannot argue that the government is abiding by the Refugee Convention?
There's no possibility, if the revised amendment becomes the law, that Australia is in a position to abide by the Refugee Convention if the minister, in fact, acts in the way that this provides, that the only condition is that he thinks designation is in the national interest. That's a complete abdication of the rule of law.
Let's look at the opposition's amendment, because it's amended its previous policy too. It now says any offshore processing agreement with a third country must be with a country that has signed the UN Convention on Refugees. Do you agree that should be the bottom line? Is that an acceptable bottom line, and does that meet our obligations?
Look, I think it's a critical starting point, and again, the High Court said as much, that protection is only protection if it's required by law. If it's not required by law, if it's just a matter of discretion, then it isn't protection, it's just getting lucky. And so, absolutely, being a party to the Refugee Convention is important, but I think what the opposition misses is the next step of what the High Court said. The Chief Justice was emphatic that words on a piece of paper don't mean protection. What actually happens on the ground is as important as whether they've agreed to be accountable. And so if you've got a country that's signed up to a document but doesn't live up to it. In fact, I mean, you know the old joke, the Soviet Union had the most beautiful constitution in the world. The only problem is it never respected it. Signing on to the Refugee Convention gives you accountability, but it doesn't give you protection. So the opposition is, in my view, just as hypocritical as the government, suggesting now, post-Nauru, when it didn't seem to think that the Refugee Convention mattered, that the Refugee Convention matters as a matter of theory, but whether in fact the country does what the convention requires is irrelevant. That doesn't make any sense either.
Well, let's talk about, we were speaking with the immigration minister earlier, he said that Malaysia has made major progress in putting in place proper protections for asylum seekers. He said Malaysia went into this deal with Australia in good faith and it was guaranteeing non-refoulement, the rights to work, access to UNHCR processing, access to health and education, that these are improved protections. Do you agree that if those protections were all guaranteed, that would make Malaysia an acceptable third country for sending asylum seekers to?
I think it's definitely headed in the right direction. And again, you know, the High Court said, if and when protections are in place, then one can do regional sharing. The problem is they're not in place yet. The fact that things are getting better isn't enough. I mean, if I said to you, you know, go in and have surgery by this doctor, you know, she's been terrible. She's lost every patient on the table for the last 3 years, which is basically the way Malaysia has been badly treating refugees. But she's taken a follow-up course, and she's getting better. And I'm confident that she's not as, you know, likely to engage in malpractice as a month ago. Would you want to go in for surgery? No. If and when she's fully retrained and requalified, then we can have this discussion.
So what is the answer then? Both sides of politics here are arguing deterrence needs to be put in place. So we, in their words, break the people smugglers' business model. The end game is a regional solution. That's what the minister says. What would lawful regional processing look like in your view?
Well, I think we need to start with understanding that there is no crisis. This is a completely false, invented crisis by both political parties when each has been in power. There is no invasion of Australia. Our numbers are not only dramatically lower than those of any other country on a worldwide basis, but lower than even other developed countries. You take half as many refugees per capita as Canada, one quarter as many per capita as Germany. Forget the less developed world, which takes massively more than we do. So there is no invasion. And secondly, this whole human smuggling thing is a false issue. I mean, we created the market for human smuggling. If you could lawfully come to Australia and make a refugee claim without need of sneaking in under a boat, people would do it. But we make it illegal and create the market that smugglers thrive on. So to pretend that somehow we need to respond to this external crisis that we've in fact created is duplicitous. So where can regional processing go? Look, it's a great idea in principle to share, but you can only share responsibilities with somebody who has them. And that's what the High Court said. We ought to be engaged in capacity building with other states in the region, getting them to sign the convention, teaching them about how to implement it, ensuring that they can actually honor obligations under the treaty. And if and when they get there, we'll have the possibility to share out, but we don't have it now. And I don't think we should be embarrassed by this. I mean, Europe started on this idea 3 decades ago, and they, next week, have a case in the European Court of Justice about whether Greece is an adequate partner for people to share refugee responsibility with. So you know, and they've had a lot more experience than this region. It's not so simple as simply saying that, have you signed the treaty, off you go. It takes time, it takes patience, and in the interim, Australia's protection obligations are very small compared to other developed countries. We should bear them, we should engage in inland processing, and we should work with our partners so that 5, 10, 15 years from now, we're in a position to have a meaningful protection system in the Asia Pacific.
James Hathaway, thank you very much for joining us on Breakfast.
You're most welcome.
James Hathaway is a fellow at the University of Melbourne and director of the University of Michigan's program in refugee and asylum law. It's 8:15 on Breakfast.